The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Wow, wow, wow. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries, presentation of the Bible Information Brokers with Eric Stanton, receiving your phone calls at 888-995-5552. Ozzy is making all these things mechanically happen for us. We really appreciate him as always. Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH. My name is Daryl E.T.D. Fulton. We want to receive your question tonight. Please call in 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 on this Resurrection Sunday, most important day to the Christian experience and the Christian life. Please take an opportunity to call Eric. He's right now ready to receive your phone call at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, or 888-995-KKLA. All the other formats I mentioned, the five of them now, Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social, all the same address, same platform addresses, or different platforms, but same address at Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers, so send your question in by those methods, and we have our first person that send in for Truth Social we'll deal with momentarily. But you know what, PCH, when Joy asked her question in regards to why did God take so long to send a Savior, and it's, you know, obviously from the perspective of time, he's on a whole different time zone than we are. I'm personally glad, you know, that one was sent in regards to who we are, how we are, and what we are. And people actually know who they are, what they are, and why they are. I don't even know if they necessarily know why they are, but they know what they are. They know who they are. They are with themselves 24/7. And if anybody was to ask a question, if the motto was perfection, if the motto, or since the motto is perfection, since the motto is flawlessness, right there, we all know that we don't qualify. We don't qualify one iota, and then there's a whole system. If there was justice at all, and we trust that God is a just God, that he will deal with people, he will deal with wrong, he will deal with the sin issue. How does he do that from a biblical perspective, PCH? Can you please, please, please let the people know?
Well, sure. In fact, the definitive way he dealt with it was the incarnation, that is, Jesus becoming human, living a perfect life and allowing himself to be killed to die for our sins, because the penalty for sin is death, physical death and spiritual death, and ultimately separation from God for all of eternity. But Christ paid that price, paid the penalty due us, the sentence that we all deserve, which is death, again, physical, spiritual death, which comes to all of us should God tarry in his second coming. And then ultimately for those who reject Jesus Christ and go into eternity, the great white throne judgment is talked about in the last book of the Bible, almost the last chapter, not quite, but in Revelation chapter 20 in the book of Revelation, eternal separation from God. And so Christ comes, how he deals with it is through his perfect life. We call it the active and passive obedience of Christ. His active obedience of always doing what he should do, never having done what he shouldn't do, not once, not even once. And then passively allows himself to be killed to die for our sins. That's why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, because of his resurrection from the dead. As I have in an outline, I point out the reasons why God allows us and the significance. And one of them, or a couple of them, are certainly because it proves that Christ, who was he claimed to be, it proved that he came to die for our sins. He was God, God the Son of God, and that he died for our sins, and that God the Father accepts his sacrifice, his payment in full for the penalty due our sins. And that's why it's so incredibly important. So besides the fact of eternal spiritual and physical death, separation from God, The other part of this is, even if you don't die, I mean, that's not, okay, let's say, think someone who's alive. I mean, okay, they're not dead. Well, that's good, but that doesn't mean they're flourishing. It doesn't mean they're healthy. They could be barely holding on. They could be on a breathing machine, what have you. But life and that more abundantly, the meaning, the purpose, the significance, life fulfillment, life to its fullest is only found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not just literally not going to hell for eternity, and that's true. But it is spending eternity in the presence of God, life in that more abundantly, life it was as it was meant to be lived, life in its fullness, a perfect relationship and fellowship with God and then with one another, and that's only all through Jesus Christ. And that's the significance of today. That's why you can't exaggerate. I could try, I could go on and on, but I wouldn't do justice to the significance of Resurrection Sunday, of how important this is for the Christian, not just their experience, but for truth, for reality. Christ proves who he was, who he claimed to be, that he accomplished what he claimed to come to do, and that for those who trust in him, believe in him, have faith in him, he gives us eternal life. Daryl, that is the good news. That is from the Greek, the word, the gospel, the good news, the euangelion. That is the good news. We are deserving of a Christless eternity. We all have a terminal heart disease and need a heart transplant, and divine doctor, physician Jesus has given us, those who trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior, gives them a new heart, that is spiritually speaking, to love and serve and worship God, to know him, and to experience life in that more abundantly. That and some more, but this is what Resurrection Sunday is all about. And for anybody who's listening right now, and that's no accident, your divine appointment is right now, your kairos, your appointed time, the fullness of time for you, right now, to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's not enough just to believe, oh, there's a God, and I think Jesus is God or divine or something like that, and yeah, I'm not that good, but you know, hey, whatever. No, this is your chance, your opportunity right now to ask forgiveness of your sins, of your imperfections, of your failures. Trust in Christ, believe on him, and know that it is true, because God is testified, confirmed, and testimony, testify, those words come from the Greek, from the legal terms of someone who testifies to the truth of something, who gives testimony, and we're testifying to the truth of Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done for us, and that the wise person will trust in him as their personal Lord and Savior. My friend, that's you, and something you should do right here, right now, wherever you are. Now, get into a Bible teaching believing church. That doesn't save you, but that'll sure help you to grow as a believer. But today is the day, right now is the time, to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, to believe on him and him alone, and receive the life that only he can give, life to its fullest, life in its superabundance, the life that's truly life, by trusting in Christ again as your Lord and Savior.
Thank you, BZH. 888-995-5552. Eric has open lines. Please give him a call. 888-995-5552. If you have a question about anything to do with life, godliness, what does the Bible say about things that you're going through? What does the Bible say about what's going to be happening futuristically? What does the Bible say about anything that you may have? If you're reading the Bible, if you're going to church, if you're living life, if you just have things that's going on in your life, the Bible speaks about many, 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 many things. Not every single thing, but many things. And if there's a biblical perspective, and we have it, and we know the answer, we want to give you an answer to your question. Please call 888-995-5552. Every other format, Bible Info Brokers is the address, Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email at our .com website, Tweet, Messenger, now this new social, or Truth Social, and you mentioned truth so much in your last soliloquy, PCH, that there's a question, our first question from the Truth Social is talking about truth, and it's from our dear friend, I know I'm murdering his name, but it's spelled J-O-S-U-E, and if you can pronounce it better than I can, PCH, help me out with this, but I'm saying Jasu. Or it may be Josie, because I remember him calling before and he gave us the correct pronunciation. I'm just not hitting it right now, I don't believe. But his question from Truth Social, our very first one that has won him a book of his choice, or the book of that we have to give him, then that would be his choice from the books that we have. We'll communicate with him those things. Is this, and he's dealing with truth. He says, why do today's society prefer their truth than God's truth? And I'm glad he said it the way he did, prefer their truth, because I've heard many people say live in your truth, Craig. What in the world does that mean, that live in your truth? And then with Josie's question is that, why does society prefer their truth than God's truth? Why?
Well, that's such a superb question. And as I mentioned, I have a handout on different views and understandings of truth. And today, probably the most common view of truth is some form of what's called pragmatism, that truth is whatever works for a person. So it's often the phrase is, that's true for you, but not true for me. That's your truth, not my truth. And a form of relativism. And relativism says there's no truth that's true for the big four. All times, all people, all places, all circumstances. One more time. There's no truth. This would be universal or absolute truth that is true for all times, all people, all places, all circumstances. And the irony is, and this is, again, such a great question, is because they think that that's really going to make to bring them happiness and fulfillment is my truth. There's just this incredible irony, to put it crassly, bluntly, is people really believe, if they even believe that God exists, they think they know more than he does. They think, oh, well, God, I know God said that, but here's the reality. By the way, this is Adam and Eve back in the garden. This is wanting to become like God. This is because we want to call the shots. We want to say what is true and what is false. This is what brings fulfillment. This is what brings contentment. This is what brings joy or happiness to one, is my truth. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe that. And so there's an irony. And again, the incredible irony here is these people are looking for fulfillment, contentment, meaning, significance, purpose, excitement, whatever in life. And the irony is their very views are actually going to cost them their eternal soul. The very views that they think are going to give them all those things, again, fulfillment, contentment, all those things, their view will ultimately rob them. There's a pleasure at best, as it says in the Word of God, the New Testament, there is pleasure in sin for a season, for a very short time, but there's always payday. And it's not even just God coming down and striking people and him personally interjecting and disciplining people. He didn't have to do that. It's the natural consequences. Let me put it this way. Some things are nincompoopish. Mm-hmm. They're stupid. And if you keep doing it, there's a price you're going to pay for your stupidity. You do dumb, dangerous things. Sooner or later, the odds catch you, and you're going to harm yourself. God has to throw a lightning bolt from heaven. It's just the natural consequences. And so people and their ironic views to find fulfillment, contentment, purpose, meaning, significance, life, excitement, whatever their buzzwords are, they embrace things that are false. They do things that will never lead to that. And then they're shocked at the end of the day when it's like, you know, there's a phrase called gravel in the mouth. At the end of the day, it's like having dust in your mouth. It's empty and you're spitting it out and you're despairing of life because of the foolish decision. That's why, for example, in Proverbs 16:25, I believe Proverbs 14:12 and 10:14, it says there is a way that seems right to a person, but the ends thereof are death. And the irony is people choose death, and that's what Paul tells us in Thessalonians. He says, well, why do they perish? Because they had pleasure. They enjoyed unrighteousness and did not love the truth.
Wow. There you go. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Everything else, Bible Info Brokers. Please take advantage of these formats. Bible Info Brokers on Facebook, email, at our .com website, tweet, messenger, or even now Truth Social, and more to come as we grow in our social understanding, Greg, in our social media understanding. Let's go to the phone, back to the phone calls, and talk with Richie from Redondo Beach. Richie, thanks for calling in.
Yes, God bless you guys. Happy Resurrection Sunday.
Indeed, brother. Thank you very much. You as well. What's your question for the night, bro?
Okay, I guess it's a short two-part. If Jesus went in the grave and rose 3 days later, if the clock starts at midnight for a new day, that wouldn't be exactly 3 days. Did they change the calendar or somebody told me there's a Mayan calendar or some other calendar. Do the days change after a certain period of time after the resurrection of Christ? And that's pretty much my question. Was he really in the grave 3 days and nights according to our calendar today? Or was it something back then that was changed in a different time frame?
Good question, brother. PCH.
Yeah, it's a good question. And there are different calendars, but that's really what doesn't impact this issue, Gregorian and whatever. So that's why some things, well, that's why we're even messed up. Jesus was born actually between 6 and 4 B.C. We know that because Herod the Great dies in 4 B.C., so Christ had to be born before he died, but that's because of the mess-ups in the calendar. And the reason it doesn't add up to us is because it's not how we reckon a day. But in the ancient world, and Israel at least, their concept was any part of a day counted as a day. And even we retain a metaphorical use of that. Because sometimes, you know, you're talking and you literally mean a 24-hour solar day. But sometimes you say, boy, I had a tough day at work, but even if it was 12 hours, well, that's not 24 hours, but we metaphorically speak like that. I had a tough day, or he was there that day. And these are all metaphorical uses. And by that day, you meant, okay, I sent this guy to go pick something up at work. And so he was there Wednesday. He was there that day, when in fact he wasn't there all day. So we metaphorically do that. So here's literally how the Jews reckoned it, is any part of the day, one more time, counted as a day. So in essence, Jesus would have just made it in on Friday by the time he's taken off the cross and put into the tomb. It would have been all day Saturday. That's no dispute there. And then the third day would be the smidgen of the morning on Sunday. To Jewish reckoning, that would be 3 days. And again, I know your mind's probably going, well, that doesn't make sense to me. But yes, I get that. But that's how it made sense to them, though. That's how they reckon time. And there's a number of works that deals with this. You can get books like Manners and Customs of the Bible, by edited by Merle Tenney and J.I. Packer. But one of the best books on the chronological aspects of Christ, including this, when he was born, how long do we think he actually lived, when did he die, and how many days was he in the tomb. There's a phenomenal book, if you're interested, just mentioning it, Richie, called Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ. Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ by Harold Hohner, H-O-E-H-N-E-R. H-O-E-H-N-E-R, Harold Hohner, and he has a whole chapter or two on this issue. But that's why, if you mean literally 24-hour solar days, well, no, that's 72 hours, no. But part of Friday, all day Saturday, part of Sunday, Jewish reckoning, that's 3 days.
3 days, okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. Well, that makes more sense.
Our pleasure.
All right,
amen.
Brother.
Thank you, guys.
You're very welcome, brother. Yeah. Appreciate your phone
call.
Yeah,
our pleasure. Yeah, and again, Daryl, just like we say, you know, that he was there, I was there that day.
Mm-hmm.
You generally don't mean I was there for 24 hours. It just means, oh, yeah, I was there Wednesday, if that's the issue. Or, boy, what a hard work day, but when the day is not even over. We do the same thing. We just don't see it how it's applied to our Jewish friends. But again, the key to interpreting the Bible, but frankly, any ancient society, is not how we think about the issue conceptually, but how did they view it?
Appreciate that, PCH. Folks, if you listen to talk radio, you listen to the news, things are going on in this world that it literally brings me back to, what is my answer for all the things that I see? I'm not really a great movie watcher, but I try to watch movies on special days like today. So I actually watch a couple of movies in regards to the life of Jesus right around the crucifixion time. And I think this one particular one was about 2 hours long, man. You know, I didn't know 2 hours can go so fast when you're looking at something that you're interested in. But PCH, there was a movie about Jesus from the Gospel of John. And in John 17, 1 through 5 is what I want to reference. And they were talking about, eternal life and what does it mean? And it seemed like they got right down to that simple answer we were talking about, accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and getting having an eternity with Christ, living an eternity with God. And the scripture was talking about how Jesus was talking in parables and ways, or metaphors. Actually, it didn't say parables at that time. It was talking about metaphors and how Jesus was requested by his disciples, can you just talk plainly to us? So when they finally talked plainly to him in this respect, and John 17, 1 through 5, and I'm going to read those verses because I want you to comment on the idea of the meaning of eternal life from this perspective. And that's John 17. Let me get it up here because it's much easier for me to do it online other than turn those pages, right? That's at least from here, from the studio standpoint, not necessarily from your standpoint. Are your pages in order yet, PCH? Yeah, do you have the Bible back in order yet? I'm sorry. All the time I open up my Bible, mine starts falling apart a little bit. I'm saying, well, I can imagine Craig's. He probably have that. What is the name of that paper papyrus that they used back in the day? You probably have some of that stuff, don't you? I'm sure you do. But anyway, from John 17, let me bring this up. I'm sorry, I'm just laughing too hard. And dealing with eternal life. Craig, can you talk about it, or do you want me to just read those scriptures or not?
Well, why don't you read the passage for those who don't know.
Let's do that. I'm going to read it from the NIV. Let me bring it up here. Okay, well, if this thing works out, you know, sometimes I guess the Bible would work a whole lot better other than this computer, the way it's doing now. 17, here we go. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those who have been given him, or all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And the disciples were basically just happy in the fact that Jesus just made it real plain about what eternal life is and the perspective of knowing him. So my question is, can you break that down for us on what this whole pericope was talking about?
Well, sure, we can sure try, Darryl. Yeah, Christ is just putting it out there. And the phrase eternal life, aionios zoes in Greek, it doesn't just mean longevity, eternal longevity. It means it's referring to a quality of life. It's the life, as Jesus says in John 10:10, abundant life, life that is truly life. And again, John 10:10, I am come to give them life and that more abundantly, the true life that God intended. So it's really living, not just existing and not existing for a long time. Because the biblical view is we're all going to exist for a long time. But that's not eternal life. Eternal life is we call it technicus terminus in Latin, a technical term. It means the quality of life, the fullness of life, what the Greeks called eudaimonia, this human flourishing, well-being, the sense of almost euphoric, like when you do something well, whether it's running or lifting or some type of athletic ability or any type of other thing. It could be any activity. When you do something well, there's that sense of well-being, like endorphins being released into your body, and you feel good about it because you were made to do that, and you do it well. And so just staying in within John, Jesus tells us back in John 8:24, he claims that he is the great I am. Mm-hmm. He uses the divine name. And by the way, noticing from John 17, clear back in Isaiah 42 and the following chapters, God says he would not give his glory to another.
Yes.
But Christ says, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. And so from John 8:24 and other passages, we know that Jesus claims to be the great I am. he claims to have the glory of God. Simply, it was being veiled. It was being wrapped or clothed in human form in Jesus. Indeed, in John 10:30, Jesus says, "I and the Father," in Greek it says esmen, "we are one," not just one in purpose, not just one in goals or vision, but ontologically we say that is from the nature of reality. Christ claims to be one with the Father, and this is incredible. And so he tells us in John 17, here's life. You're looking for life. You're looking for meaning. You're looking for significance. You're looking for purpose. You're looking for identity. The truth of what life is all about, it is to know the true God and therefore to know his Son that he sent, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who represents the Father to us. And that's, again, that's the beauty of Christmas in particular and the beauty of Resurrection Sunday, of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, that we might truly know God or be known by God in a personal relationship and therefore have fellowship with God. So this is the life that God gives. The world can give you trinkets and baubles. It'll entertain you for so long, and then eventually it gets old. No matter what sin you do, it'll be fun for a season, and then it takes more, more, more. And it's never truly fulfilling. It's never truly satisfying. That's why people have to do it over and over again. That's why, like with drugs, you got to take more and more and more. Whereas life, and that more abundantly, is only found in Christ. And those who trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior, Allah, other passages, but including John 17, 1 through 5, we know that that is life. And then that takes me one last passage here. Go to 1 John 5:13, where in 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John, the apostle of love, the disciple whom the Lord loved, who is leaning on the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper, he tells us, and this is eternal life, right? He goes on to tell us what eternal life is earlier in verse 11 of 1 John 5. So now, not just John, the Gospel of John, but the epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And in verse 13, he says, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. But, and so, not that you might, that you could, you might possibly, but you can know if you've trusted in Jesus, your Lord and Savior, if you believe on him, then you can, you should know that you have eternal life. The clock is ticking. It's already started. And someday at the second coming of Christ, the next great event of the church, the second coming of Christ, it will usher in that eternity for us, that we will experience the glorification and resurrection of our own messed up bodies into eternal glory along with Jesus Christ.
Solo affirmation, that's the only affirmation of folks that are into affirmations and affirming things and claiming things. It's the only affirmation that you need to secure and guarantee, as you see, you said, PCH, your eternity.
That's exactly it. Yeah. That's it, because basically elsewhere here in John and then 1 John, basically God says this, I'm the only being who never lies. When I say it, it happens. When I promise, I deliver. No, as Nebuchadnezzar found out, the ruler of Babylon, in Daniel 7, in Daniel 4:35, he found out that God alone is sovereign. And if God says he's going to do something, it's going to happen. No one can stop him. So that's why that's all we need is the divine testimony. If you will, in the court of law, God has sworn, he's testified an oath to himself, not to anybody else, but himself. I mean, so, you know, you and I go in a courtroom, for example, and typically do you swear, you know, that you will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I have to swear by God, right? Well, God swears by himself.
Indeed, indeed.
And he says, my word, when I give my word, that's definitive. If I say it's not going to happen, it won't happen. If I say it's going to happen, it's going to happen. God always delivers on his promises, no matter what way, shape, or form they are. God never fails, and our salvation is eternally secured because of God's word, who's told us that he's given us eternal life.
Indeed, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you're listening to us and you hear the sound of our voice, if you're listening by way of social media and any other format that you're listening to, I'm going to ask that you communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. Just treat us like we're soldiers in the war, because we are in a war. We're dealing with the battle that you're dealing with. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this is a spiritual war that we're all in. I'd love to hear from you from these various medias that we talk about, that we have these platforms. So please, if you even have the platform, if you don't even mind mind doing like a roll call on the platform that you do have? We're not taking your information and piling up and selling it to anybody. We don't have time. Trust me, we don't have time to do any of that stuff, and we wouldn't anyway. But I'm just very curious of the various platforms that we do have. We have some. We have different resources that we're going to be talking about, and we want to provide you with those resources, and we're going to do that momentarily. But if you have this new Truth Social, if you have Facebook, if you have access to internet, you can send us an email, tweet, or messenger. Go to all these various formats I just talked about, those four: Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, and Facebook. I think I said Facebook, so maybe four or five, and Truth Social. Just simply understand it's the same address. It's the same address for all those medias and social medias, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. Can we try to take advantage of these opportunities while they're there? We're not using that TikTok situation. I'm going to stay away from that because, I mean, that's kind of interesting anyway. But if you have those other social medias I just mentioned, please just check in. Let us know that you're out there. And we'll be communicating some things about the ministry and the various things we have. But right now, I just want you to know very, very seriously that we have a need for your financial help. And I'm going to let PCH talk about that. And then after he does that, we're going to give you some more information about resources that we have, everything from talking to us during the middle of the week at his channel, the chronological reading, the virtual Bible study. We'll get into all those things now. But PCH, can you give the alphabet soup of giving as abridged as you can, but definitely emphasize the Cambodia trip because we got a deadline on that. And then I'll get tell the people how they can participate.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl, and I'll do that financial in just a moment. But again, tomorrow's really the last day to get back to me if you'd like to go on this trip to Cambodia. I take a class of law students. We have some openings, but we need to have it sealed up by tomorrow, where we deal with human trafficking, slavery, literally of little boys and girls as young as 5 years old. You may say, well, I don't want to go. I don't want to see that. Well, in one sense, of course you don't, but don't you want to see how it's what's going on and how it's dealt with and how Christians are standing in the gap and making the difference, how dedicated Christian and their ministries are making all the difference in the world in human trafficking, and how you can be a part of that and help impact that, that has helped to eradicate this stuff. So it's a course I've gone there many, many times. And you are invited, but I do need to hear from you by tomorrow. It is $1,500, but that includes your hotels, and we stay at pretty nice hotels. The good news is they're much cheaper over there.
Yes, indeed.
And also your ground transportation. You'd have to pay for your flight and the $1,500 fee, but I will guarantee you, you will never be the same when you go over there and see this stuff and visit with the ministries and other organizations that are making a difference. But you need to contact me by tomorrow, Monday, that is at C, not G, but C, C as in Craig, C-R-A-I-G, just C Hawkins, C-H-A-W-K-I-N-S, at TIU.edu, C Hawkins at TIU.edu, and we can give you some information and talk more about it. But also, yeah, Daryl, I mean, we are a faith-supported broadcast, and we ask that you help support it, just the overhead, that is the radio broadcast, a website, and its maintenance and what have you. We don't have a building, don't have a mortgage, don't have salaries. So when we tell you the money goes to the ministry, that's where it goes, because we don't have those other bills. And we're not knocking those who do. We're just telling you that's not how it is with us. And so you can give to just the BIB, we call it, the Bible Info Brokers, the General Fund. Oh, we also help support, we call it the Faithful Friend Fund. It is, pays for the health insurance for the widow of our dear brother, Brian Allen, who went to home to be with the Lord, his first ultimate resurrection Sunday today in heaven. And we help pay for the insurance premiums for his wife, his widow. We feel that's right and good. That's called the Faithful Friend Fund, FFF, if you will, if you want to be a part of that. But also the TOT, which, again, last week of June into July, planning to be back in India and then Nepal, training Christian leaders, missionaries, and pastors, further equipping them to share the gospel. A lot of persecution going on in India, really ramping up, also in Nepal. Our brothers and sisters need support. They need training, and we do it. We pay for their travel, their food, lodging, all that's paid for, all the training's paid for. We go there, give them materials, resources, buy the, as we have the funds, Bibles, you name it, because many of them are going to literally unreached people groups, people in India and Nepal and other countries from Bangladesh, from Myanmar, and so on and so forth, Bhutan, who sharing the gospel, many of them with people who've never heard the gospel before. Now, if you think that's something you can, you'd like to be in on, something you believe, then we'd ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially, again, because we're very transparent. We go, we do all these things. We bring the receipts back so people can see how we spent the money, so you know where it goes. We don't just talk about being transparent. We'd like to think we prove it. We show you, because you have every right to know the funds you donate, how we spend them. But we do need your support. The more that we're able to collect, the more I can take over there, and we'll be buying Bibles and all kinds of resources, let alone paying for the travel again, food and lodging of people like Narbu, for example, who is, his last name actually, he is a Sherpa. Now, most people, I always thought Sherpas were just people who did packing up to the Himalayas, right, Daryl? I thought it was people who, you know, who were in that industry. No, it's actual name, an actual tribe of Deepak, of Surendra, Prakash, and Vishal, the other guys that we help support. These are actual people doing the work of the Lord, translating Christian literature, translated the Bible. You can be a part of this. You can help us do more. We can do this together. And Daryl's going to tell you how we can do just that.
You know what, folks, please, please, please take advantage of this situation 100%. If you're out there and you have the Lord's money and you want to support the Cambodia trip, and you can sponsor somebody because you can't go, or you may know some people that may be interested in going. Either way, if you have the Lord's money, please take advantage of the situation where it could be done through you, and God bless you for that in advance. If you're going to write a check in any level that PCA just mentioned about our designations with the FFF, the BIB, or the TOT, please simply write the checks out or have your bank do it for you. That way you can save fees and things like that, stamps and envelopes, and it's done automatically for you as you would tell your bank to do that. They will send it out to you. I've sent a lot of different checks out that way. I haven't written a check in many, many years because it's that ability. So just contact your bank, or if you want to write the check yourself, make sure that the address and the envelope and everything is made out to, and the checks is made out to LBTW, or Living by the Word, at P.O. Box 90477. That's P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. Once again, anything written to the P.O. Box, you have to make it out for Living by the Word or LBTW, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. We thank you in advance for that. Now, if you're going to give by way of internet, then please take an opportunity to go to our Bible Info Brokers website. Click support and donate icon. Instructions are like a paragraph and a sentence. And I guarantee you it's just that simple. Just read the instructions, fill out the whatever subscription they call it for monthly giving, ongoing recurring giving, or a one-time gift. It's up to you. The amount, no gift is too small, no gift is too large. We can use all the support we can get. Bible Info Brokers, support and donate icon. So take advantage of that now. PCH, fourth quarter rules. I can't believe we're getting down to maybe about 25 minutes left in the broadcast. So people, Eric has open lines. Let's take advantage of it. It's fourth quarter rules. So when you call in, you don't have to be on that long, but just have your question ready. I'll say your name, city you're from. We get right into a question. And unless I'm going to keep you on, I'm going to have you hang up and we ask your questions. You can hear it offline. I mean, off the on the air. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. We have those open lines right now available. Take an opportunity on the fourth quarter rule situation. I have some questions that can go through the next 3 days, but here's your chance. Call in now, 888-995-5552. But these other formats I just mentioned earlier, all these social media formats we have, PCH, Truth Social, Facebook, email at .com website, tweet or messenger. I can't even repeat what I just said, but all those formats is the same address. Thank God. Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the format for Truth Social, Facebook, email, tweet, or messenger. And congratulations to our first one from the Truth Social, Juicy. I know I'm killing your name. He already told us what type of book he wanted, PCH, and we really appreciate I mean, I appreciate the efficiency of the various things we can use. And so he's looking for a book about how society was like in Jesus' time, if possible. Thanks and blessings to the team. Appreciate that. I'm going to ask that question for him. What book would you recommend if we have it, if I have it or we get it, that talks about what was society like in Jesus' time? What book would you suggest?
Well, there are a number of them. And, of course, now I'm assuming he's talked about New Testament times, not necessarily Old Testament. Because I was just thinking, because, for example, there's a classic book by R.K. Harrison called Old Testament Times.
Right, but he didn't say Jesus' times, Julie. Gotcha.
So, I mean, the first one that comes to my mind is called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah by Alfred Edersheim, but that's almost a 1,000-page book. Our friend wants. Now, if he wanted it, that we would get him.
Yeah.
But other than that, there is a number of books, including the Moody Handbook to the New Testament, and it goes through the New Testament books, gives you an outline, but it deals with key social and religious practices, if you will. And so that's probably would be something like my first choice, because the other ones all would have a lot of Old Testament practices, like biblical manners and biblical manners and customs, the one I mentioned by Tenney and Acker. But the one by Moody is just a phenomenal handbook, intro on the New Testament, and then goes through the cultural background and circumstances, and that probably will deal with what our friend would want. So I can get you that exact title, and I don't think I don't have an extra copy of that book, but I can certainly give you the title. But that book would be a real blessing to our brother.
We're gonna hook him up. But I want to thank him very much for being our first user of the Truth Social, and I want to thank EZD for setting that situation up. Is that proper to thank myself in the third person, Chris H?
No, sure, why not?
He says, y'all, nobody else thinking of me. But anyway, I'm learning this stuff, and I appreciate the fact. Brian, thanks a lot for going home and being with the Lord. So now I'm actually growing and learning in my older age.
As long as you don't start talking to multiple cells there.
Oh, my goodness.
I can deal with that. But if it's multiple, Eric's going to have to do a delivery.
There you go. You guys keep an eye on me on that. Listen, Facebook, I'm going to ask that to the listening audience. Mary Perez, Bonnie, one of our listeners from Facebook, sent us in and asked a prayer for about Mary Perez has cancer, and pray for her healing and her salvation. Matter of fact, we might do that, Craig. We don't have anybody on the phone right now, so I have no problem. I'm going to ask that PCH if you wouldn't mind praying for her, especially the salvation aspect of it, because, you know, man, the cancer can take us out. You know, nobody's promised tomorrow, but from the salvation standpoint, where all the angels in heaven will rejoice over one saved soul, as it were, that's so super important. And especially during this time, man, I was just thinking about the lineage. You don't have grandkids yet, PCH. I have a few if you want to borrow a couple. And I was just thinking about the idea of the generations that there's no guarantee that they will accept Christ, no guarantee that they will know the Lord. But it's just the idea that in today's society, in a commercial that came on before our broadcast came on, was talking about people who are in a society where there's no religion, no God society, where there is, I mean, it's God, not even godless, it's just that, you know, no one's really dealing with it again. It's just that they're so busy with the stuff of life that the fastest growing religion is no God religion, if I got it right, or truthlessness or something like that, they said. So on behalf of that, PCH, I know we already gave the gospel message out. If you don't mind praying for Mary Perez and anybody else that may be in a situation like that, then we can continue on. And cancer as well.
Yes. Father, we do pray for Mary and pray your grace and favor for the cancer that she has and, of course, her eternal soul above all, she knows you. But we pray for your grace and peace and that you would heal her, minimally comfort her and see her through this. And then so we lift up her before you and pray your grace and favor and kindness. Father, we've let sin in. The scourge of the world is sin, and a manifestation of that is cancer. And we're asking that you be gracious, though, and really just be close to this lady and Mary, just to be so gracious to her, and may she know of your love and care, concern for her, even in the midst of this horrific illness. And, of course, we know there's many, most of us know, one, two, three, or more people currently undergoing going through cancer, and we bring them before you. Again, above all, they know Jesus is their Lord and Savior, first and foremost, but as well that you would be gracious and heal them. We would ask that you would heal them and believe you can do that and believe that you do do that. But should you not, may you be gracious and merciful to them and comfort them and see them through the illness and sometimes giving them the ultimate healing, which is their homegoing. But above all, we pray for them, they know Christ. And so praying right now, Father, this beauty is obviously we don't know everybody and we can't list them. I mean, if we did know them, but yes, you know them and you can list them. And we're asking, we're interceding on their behalf for them. You'd be gracious and merciful, and you would, please, according to your will, choose to heal them. But above all, if not, that they know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and that you see them through this, and that we would be faithful friends and minister your love to them and let them know there is a God in heaven who loves them and is gracious even in the midst of incredible suffering and hardship and the pain and just all the emotional roller coaster ride, the feelings that people go through who have cancer and the struggle. And we just pray, lift them to you, but again, in particular to Mary. And we thank you that you hear us and you always hear us because you are good and gracious and you delight to hear from your children who come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we say thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, PCH, I'm going to give the number right now. We have about, looks like about another 12 minutes left. And I have a question that may take us to the end because it's going to be about you. And if you choose to share with my question, is not to, you know, put you on the spot, as it were. But you mentioned a few times. Well, let me give the number out, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. Every other format, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers for Truth Social, Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or .com website for the email. PC, as you had mentioned before, that, you know, Christianity actually, you know, kind of stumped your style of living, or, you know, cramped your style, if I can use the expression that you use, cramped your style in living and how you were living. But yet and still, you were seeking about the truth about God. And then when you got involved with ministries and the various things you were involved with, can you give just the people an abridged synopsis of how you got involved? And I know you're in your young 60s, you know, you're coming up there, but can you give the people a sort of an abridged synopsis of who you are and how you got involved with ministry if they didn't know?
Well, sure, Daryl. Thanks for the opportunity. We didn't talk about this or plan this,
not
but I'd be happy to. Yes, I was pretty young. I came to know the Lord. I believe he called me and saved me. But I lived a pretty wild lifestyle. I won't go into all of that. But I was definitely not the boy next door, and you wouldn't have wanted your daughter to marry me. I was pretty rough around the edges. I did a lot of street racing, motorcycles and cars. Like, I had a 65 Corvette, big buck, 427. Any rate, I did martial arts. I did a bunch of bad stuff. We'll just leave it at that. And then I became a believer. But when I became a Christian, it started cramping my lifestyle because my motto is, if people bugged me, I would either just ignore them or I'd put my fist through someone's window just to let them know that I wasn't pleased with them. And I lifted weights. I practiced martial arts. And my dad was a drill instructor, and so he had taught me a bunch of stuff earlier on. And any rate, real rough around the edges, to put it mildly, and we'll leave it there. So I become a Christian, but these Christians are starting to bug me. They seem to be in some petty stuff at times. And again, God's telling me I got to be nice to people I don't like. And it's just totally foreign to me of who I was as a person. And so, and then my other practices, there was kind of a part of me that wanted to go back to doing that stuff, the drinking and everything else that went with the territory. And so I was drawn back into that stuff. It was empty. And I knew that it was wrong. And at the end of the day, even though as much as Christianity was cramping my lifestyle and the very bohemian lifestyle that I was accustomed to live, I knew that it was true. So Christianity was cramping my lifestyle, telling me, asking me to do and be things that I was not comfortable with, particularly being nice to people. And but I had no choice to go back and stay a Christian because I was convinced intellectually that it was true. Now, I had doubts. I was a philosophy major at UCI at the time, and I was in real tight with a lot of the professors and the grad students and all that, even as an undergrad, because I did, by God's grace, did very, very well, placed really high in my class in philosophy and classical history. But at any rate, I had all these questions and these doubts. So there's kind of two prongs. Christianity was cramping my lifestyle, and I had all these intellectual doubts mm-hmm. and concerns. But God was faithful to bring people to me, including listening to a guy on the radio named Walter Martin, mm. the Bible Answer Man, and he was very credible, and he could answer my questions. And so that's what the Lord used to bring me to him and keep me with him all these years, was that Christianity is true. So I could say the truths of Christianity cramped my lifestyle, but in fact, it's life and that more abundantly. It's what's right and good, whether I like it or not. And I've always had a heart, and the reason I do apologetics and ministry like this is because I was one of those young people who needed answers, and people just telling me just to believe and have faith, that didn't go anywhere with me. That was just a cop-out to me. I needed answers. I needed people who had philosophical, historical. I was a classical history major, studying classics and dealing with Bible issues and difficulties and the Greek text and all that, for example. I was a philosophy major, so I had these philosophical questions, the problem of evil, and can God make a rock so heavy you can't lift it, and all the stuff that goes with that. That was me, and that's where my heart was impacted by, I needed answers, and God was gracious to provide that for me, and God was gracious to me, and God basically taught me I should extend grace to others. If he could extend grace to me, how much more, a fortiori, we say, should I, a forgiven sinner, extend grace to others? And again, the life, the intellectual life, the pursuit of academics and of knowledge has been a passion with me since I was really young, and God has done nothing but fulfill that. And so, Daryl, I'll just bottom line it this way. I would have to commit intellectual suicide if I were to walk away from God. See, here's the irony. Most people think the other way around. No, no, no. I would have to deny what I know to be true. I would have to basically anesthetize my mind because I know Christianity is true. And not just because I've had some feeling or the burning in the bosom or some, you know, subjective experience, but because of all the data I've examined, because of all the information I've been exposed to, I know that Christianity is true, and therefore I cannot walk away because I would have no excuse. It would only be because I simply wanted to sin. Wow. My excuse and answer before the true and living God at the great white throne judgment, my only answer would be I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I did it my way, like Frank Sinatra, and I could never say, and I had all these really good reasons because I knew that was hogwash. I had no good reasons. The only good reasons I had and still have are to follow God to be and try to be faithful to him.
PC, as you know, like we had talked about when we were up on the broadcast about information. Eric, we're going to get to your phone call, so just hang in there, brother. We're definitely going to take your phone call. But like we were talking about before, Greg, when you were giving your answer about you have to do intellectual suicide for you not to believe, we just go back to the evidence that I was asking about earlier at the beginning of the broadcast about how the people who saw the resurrected Christ and would give up their life for something they knew that was not true, but yet they're going to die for it. Anyway, that is, to me, is like the epitome, if I could, of an eyewitness who would put it all on the line. And human beings just don't do that. We just don't do that. Eric, thank you very much, PCH, for that abridged version of your testimony, man. I appreciate that. Let's get to probably the last caller of the day, because we only have about 4 minutes left, and that's Eric from Chatsworth. Eric, thanks for holding on and calling in.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. God bless you both here on Resurrection Sunday.
Thank you, brother.
I just call with a quick call. You mentioned that you might have some open lines, mm-hmm. and here on this day, the greatest miracle God's performed. Maybe I might experience a little miracle here that I'm wondering. I might actually be able to correct Professor Hawkins.
Oh, by all means, do that. Miracle. Let's see if you can commit intellectual suicide here. Go ahead.
And that was on the understanding of the third day. The understanding of the third day, because the teaching that I had heard is that the difference that the gentleman was previously asking about that he might not know is that the understanding of the Jewish day, that the Jewish day actually starts at sundown. And it's an interesting concept that the Jewish day starts with rest. And then the second part of that, I think it is that many times people get confused with the idea that Jesus would raise after 3 days, but I believe the actual quote of Jesus' prophecy to the disciples is, I would raise on the third day. And so that the first day, the Last Supper is actually on Thursday evening. And so the first day, what we consider Friday, begins at sundown. And they, the trials happen through the night, and he's crucified during the daylight hours of the first day on Friday. And then Saturday begins at sundown. We might remember that Joseph Arimathea and everybody else is trying to get him into the grave because the Sabbath is coming at sundown on what we consider Friday, which was their Saturday. So their Saturday night into the Saturday day. And then their Sunday, the first day of the week, would begin at sundown on what we considered Sunday, Saturday, and then he rose in the morning on that third day, actually into the third day, Pastor Professor Hawkins.
You have 45. You have 45 seconds.
Well, just a second. We've only got a little. No, I can certainly be corrected, but actually I'm aware of everything you said. It's all in the book, Chronological Aspects of the Life of Christ. My answer simply entailed all that. But by the way, the preposition on does not mean just on. It has multiple meanings there. So at any rate, Harold Honer talks about all the things you just mentioned, rightly so, Eric. And I simply gave the abridged version to our friend Ricky earlier. So sorry, you're not correcting me this time.
Get him next time, Eric.
Not because I can't be corrected, but because I already assumed all that you just said.
No small miracle for me.
Go. That's all right. Look, brother, I appreciate your gumption. Get off our phone. No. I love you, man.
No, there's times when I'm wrong and I've been corrected and I really. But I love your spirit. Always appreciate you, Eric, and what you had to say. And I think I agree with all that you said. No
all problem. Right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Eric. Hey, PCH, I'm going to bring this brother up because we got about 45 seconds. I want him to say hi and bye.
I need to mention Cambodia, though, Derek.
Oh, yeah. Well, go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Again, taking the class, a trip to Cambodia, dealing with human trafficking, but from a Christian perspective, how Christians are making a difference and how you can make a difference. But I need to hear from you by tomorrow if you want to go on the trip. Contact me at chawkins@tiu.edu. chawkins@tiu.edu. I can give you more information. But if you want to go, tomorrow's the deadline. Need to hear from you by then. On that day, Monday.
Right? You mean on that day? Tomorrow?
In the honor of the Greek preposition there, on in the sense of any time tomorrow.
All right. I'm going to bring this brother up. If you can stay within 5 seconds, if not, I'm going to hang up on you. Let's bring him up because he wants to say something very important to us. Dan, you're on, brother. 5 seconds.
Oh, I don't know about important. I just want to say hello.
And that is important. That's why I brought you on.
He is risen.
Thank you, brother. He's risen indeed.
I love you, my brothers in Christ. And I will be praying and supporting you with prayer on your trip. I wish I could go, but financially I can't, and physically I can't.
Gotcha.
So I'll be with you, and I sent my $50 in.
Appreciate you, man. God bless you, man. We got
to
roll.
Power go to help support, then you guys can use it wherever it's needed.
We thank you, brother. Thank you, Dan. We got to roll. Appreciate you.
Bye.
15 seconds, Craig.
Love you, brother. Love, Dan. Hey, my friend, eternity is too wrong to be long. Don't just believe what we say because we said it or deny it. Check it out for yourself. Jesus has risen. He's risen indeed. He is God raised from the dead, and you need to trust him as your personal Lord and Savior.
And I'll eternally be Mama Grace and Big Daddy's baby boy saying, if the Lord is willing, we'll be back next week with more of the Bible Information Brokers. Thank you very much, Ozzy PCH. We really appreciate you as always. And Mr. Stanton, we really, really appreciate you answering those phone calls, brother.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week if the Lord willing.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.